Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may or may not like science. Perhaps the mention of the word harkens back for you traumatic visions of your childhood. For some of you, memories of science are wonderful moments from the time of your youth. But still, some of you may just think of mad scientists in lab coats dabbling in matters not intended for mankind. Whatever your thoughts on science may be, it's important to know the role and the place of science in our life. This created world does not exist to better understand science or to promote science as the supreme level of intellect. Rather, science exists to better understand God's creation. God created the world and the entire universe. It stands to reason. And God then also created science as the way to better understand that creation of God. So similar to reason and to logic, science is never to assert itself beyond the true teachings of God. Along those same lines is the understanding that science does not and cannot reveal to us everything about God. So we have to realize and come to grips with the reality that our understanding of God will always be limited. That is due to a very basic biblical principle, but one that is often overlooked. It's the teaching that God is God. And we are not. God is the creator. We are his creatures. God and his creation are not on the same level. There is God, and then there's everything else. Better understanding of that fundamental relationship could indeed solve many of the world's problems. And the lack of that understanding most certainly caused all of the world's problems. As was read in our Old Testament reading this past Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, the story of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. The devil tempted them to think that they could be like God. No longer were they content with their identity as creatures. They thought that equality with God was something that they could grasp by grasping fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. Attached to that understanding of our identity as God's creatures is a necessity for faith. You and I must have faith in God. You cannot see God. You cannot feel God. You cannot hear him, nor can you touch him. You must hold on to him by faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So go the words from the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11. That faith is not to be considered abnormal. That is, faith is not to be seen as a weakness, as something that is strange to humanity and creation. Rather, it is essential to being a human being. For those who doubt that faith is essential to life as a person, consider how much faith is required just to live out one day in your life. Faith that your alarm clock will wake you up at the right time. Faith that your automatic payment to the water company will go from your bank to them so that you'll have water in the morning to take your shower. Faith that your car will turn over when you turn that key or push that button. Faith that everyone else out on the road will do their job of driving safely. Faith that your coworkers next to you will do what they're supposed to be doing, and that you'll get paid for the work that you do. Such things do not require faith in God, per se. Life does require faith in our fellow man. As much as you want to be, you are not independent. You are not self-sufficient. That is, you cannot live indefinitely without the presence and service of others around you. Dependence on others, then, is a natural part of being human, especially that of being a creature under God's kingdom. Most naturally, you acknowledge that all of the good gifts you have come from God through the people in your life. But without God, there would be nothing for any of us to give to anybody else. And so we say, God is the fountain and the source of all goodness, as we pray following the Lord's Supper. We recite many of his gifts given to us in the explanation of the first article of the Creed, talking about creation itself, along with the explanation to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Faith is a very natural part of being a human being in this created world. And faith in God alone is just as natural, or so it should be. Theologians like to consider the Ten Commandments as a proper exposition of natural law. That is, the Ten Commandments reveal what is embedded in all mankind. It is what every person is designed to know and to believe from the very beginning. Murder? Evil. Stealing is unethical. Marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Those things are fairly easy to understand. Common sense backs them up, but many stumble over the first commandment. More and more people in our world refuse to believe that there is a God. And so naturally, Christians then conclude that such a belief cannot be natural, and it should not be expected. But not so. Faith, or lack thereof, does not determine reality. It never has, it never will. Whether you believe there is a God or not, you are still a creature of His. And God expects all of mankind to do as explained with the first commandment, to fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. That's God's expectation of all people, whether they believe in Him or not, and it is fair. In fact, King David, blessed King David, of great memory, had a word to say about those who reject the first commandment and claim that there is no God. Twice he does so within the Psalter. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 begin with the same exact words. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. See, the natural belief in God is corrupted, as is the natural obedience of man to God's word. And that all stems from that one moment in the garden, from Adam's fall into sin, his rejection of God's pure word, and his desire to become more like God. Ever since, the world has fallen deeper and deeper into sin. Some think we're getting better, but the truth is, we're just getting worse. For corruption of man's heart is total. And it got so bad so fast that you go back into Genesis before the flood and you read that God regretted making mankind in this world. Jesus taught, according to Matthew 15, that what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. Knowing this, it becomes clear as to why so many in the world have rejected God and His presence in this world. Such knowledge allows us to understand why this world has become so depraved and so vile. And yet, such knowledge, such knowing, does not excuse such corruption. God still holds man accountable for his sin, for his rebellion willingly against him. And God still expects for all to believe in him for all good things. Rightfully so. But God also knows that man cannot believe in God on his own. Man's corruption has hardened his heart to God, and has stuffed his ears to God's word. Jesus taught this in Matthew 13, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, who said, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear." Even so, God has not given up on the idea of faith. Trust in God is still good and is right and is expected, and it is the only hope for eternal life with God. And this Jesus taught most plainly to Nicodemus. Our gospel reading for this afternoon from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. St. Paul carries this message home. Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And again in our epistle reading from Galatians 3. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And so it is that God expects all people to fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. And that Christ Jesus did perfectly in His life. And He did it for you. And he did it for me. He lived his life for you. And he gave that life up for you on the cross, with his blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins, so that we shall then so joyfully sing in the last and the verses of our closing hymn, since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.